Praise God, here we are. Now, I just want to back up a little bit to bring us up to date. We are talking about practicing resurrection, living resurrection. We have been, if you have given your life to Jesus and you know you belong to Him, you have been resurrected in the Spirit to be seated with God, with Christ in heavenly places. So Paul is teaching us through his letters that we are to live like that. It wasn't an accident. God didn't do it just because he thought this would be a nice thing to do. He has done it so that you may be transformed and grow into his likeness. We didn't start with Ephesians 1. I've actually preached through Ephesians a few years ago, but I know we have to keep going back over these things. But the promise in Ephesians 1 that is the starting point is that we have been given every spiritual blessing to live the way God wants us to live. That's the bottom line. And so many times we don't get that part. We think we have to grab something else. We think we have to struggle and try to get this. And we don't acknowledge it. We don't speak with our words and say, I have been given. That's a promise. If God lives in you, if Jesus lives in you, that's what you've been given. But we have to say this over and over again because, see, the world doesn't tell us that. It's got to be Jesus who tells us that, and we have to be listening. And we have to speak it out, and we have to believe it, see, that we've been given it. So I'm saying I have been given every spiritual blessing to live my life every day with the fear that I might fall down and hurt myself, but I'm going to trust God. Because I can't do anything else, right? Can't do anything else. Okay, so this is the bottom line. And then we've gone on last week to say that the highlight of that is because of that, we are to walk worthy of that. Okay, so you've been given these beautiful spiritual gifts, this spiritual blessing, all the things that are needed. And so if we've been given that, we are to walk worthy of it. If you are given a great award in your business or something like that, or you've been the Australian of the Year, you're made Australian of the Year. Well, the whole rest of the year, that person is to walk worthy of that award. They go around Australia. They talk about Australia. They talk about the good things that can happen. They bring people together. They enact what they've been given. Do we enact what we've been given? Are those spiritual blessings so precious to us that we want to enact them? We want to say, God, He's given it to us. And then further on in chapter 1, it says, how has it been given to us? Through the Holy Spirit. We talk a lot about God, we talk a lot about Jesus, but sometimes we don't talk very much about the Holy Spirit. And they're equal. The Holy Spirit living in me is like God in me, Christ in me. God doesn't do anything without the other two. Jesus doesn't do anything without the other two. The Holy Spirit doesn't do anything without the other two. So it's like I was sitting here thinking, how can I show this? So I'll just show this. See this? That's something that connects. Okay? So I'm looking at the Holy Spirit. I'm learning about what the Holy Spirit is. Well, that's not going to do, that's fine for here. That's not going to do me a bit of good until I go, see? I connect. When I'm in the hospital, I need fluid. So if I look at the bag of fluid and say, yeah, that's fluid, it's not going to help me unless they put it in here. So the Holy Spirit has been put in us by God. And so that's the strength. We call on God to, you know, like later on, I think next week, the passage will be that include that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And not just once, we keep on being filled, but that's for another time. So the first step in walking worthy, we learned last week, was to be in unity with our brothers and sisters. God has already done that, everybody. The basic thing, we walk in here, we are in unity because we all are part of the Holy Spirit. We went through that. One God, one Lord, one baptism, one hope, one Spirit. We're one. Now, you may not acknowledge it, and you may try to tear it down. We may not think it, but we are. That's what the Scriptures say. So if I know that, if I walk in here and say, I am in unity through Jesus, I'm just going to come up and love you guys. I'm just going to come up and say, you're part of me. We're brothers and sisters. We have one Father. We have one Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean I'm your best buddy. There might be things I don't like about you, and you certainly don't like about me. That's beside the point. That's way beside the point. We are one. And then Paul goes on to say, if we are one, then how do we treat one another? Oh, then he says, well, if we recognize that, we are to be humble. You're God's son, and I'm his daughter. That means I'm brother and sister. We're brother and sister. So I'm going to treat you pretty good most of the time. Yeah. I want to do that. Do you love your own family? I mean, we have problems with our family. I mean, I had problems with my dad, but you know what? Even though he was abusive, I loved him. You know, we're weird like that, kids are. You know, we can be abused, but we still love. Women in marriages where there's abuse, they still love. So Jesus is saying, Paul is teaching us, and I'm just reviewing from last week because I want us to keep track of all of this, is that God, he says, humility with one another, gentleness and patience. And why? Why? Because that's the way God deals with us. Does God deal with you in patience and love and compassion? Well, I reckon. I reckon. We are all children of God. We can't belittle God's children. And we do that, the church as a whole. I'm not talking about us here. I'm talking about the church as a whole does that, and it's shameful. Each of us belongs to him. And so as we do that in chapter 4, it says, as we care for one another, as we live in unity, as we walk worthy of being called Christians, then we all grow up. We grow up into building itself up in love into Christ. We become mature. If we're not that, if we block that anywhere, my friends, we are not mature. We're still babies. We're still haggling with each other. That's living the resurrection. So before I go on, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is powerful. Lord, I pray that the word today, by your Spirit, would go deep in our hearts, mine and all of everyone here. We thank you for this opportunity and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So now in chapter 5, Paul begins another issue. He says, therefore, because of all this that I've just said, therefore, now this is a biggie, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. When's the last time you thought about that one? How do we do that? Well, let's consider for a moment what imitation means. You and I always imitate. From the time you're a baby, you imitate. I love these things sometimes on Facebook where it has the kids, you know. And I was looking at one yesterday that had like the fathers and babies, you know, from everywhere. And the father goes, boop, boop, boop. And the baby goes, boop, boop, boop. You know, and the father goes, boop. Like that, and the baby goes boop like that. You know, like they're so cute. They're so cute. But it's such, so true. You parents, you're looking at your child, and you see they copy you. You do weird things with your face, you know. We all turn into monkeys when we're you know, little weird people when we have babies around. But your children imitate you for good or for bad. So they might walk like you. They might have a voice like you. They might speak out of the side of their mouth like you. They might do, they imitate, we imitate. Not only do we imitate as we grow up, you imitate what the next guy's wearing in your job. You imitate what the girls at school are wearing. You imitate when your what car your best friend buys. You get, you know, we imitate all over the place. And both for good and for bad. So, Paul says, you're God's child. So you're to imitate him. And how are we to imitate? Why are we to imitate him? What it says in that? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So the next thing we know is we are beloved children. So as a child, I want to imitate God. But see, you won't do that unless you really know in your heart and you speak it into your heart and you hang on to it and you keep pumping it into your heart that you are a child of God. If you don't think you're a child of God, you won't imitate him. We are to be his child. See, it's so easy to relegate our faith to a bunch of steps. We do this, we do that. I need to build this way, I need to build that way. And we keep everything at arm's length, like a bunch of rules. But that's not the calling we've received. It's to relationship. And not just a friendship or a small thing, it's a child of God. Your child spends the next 18 years of their lives in your home imitating you. And then imitating people at school and imitating teachers and imitating all sorts of people. You know, who I am today, all the composites, is a result of much imitation from everybody around. Some preachers listen to other preachers and try to imitate them. Well, I don't think I've ever done that. I just had to say, well, forget it. I can't do that. I've just got to be who I am. And, of course, you are who you are. So when you imitate, God uses all those little particles and makes you you. But all the pixels of your life, there'll be some that, oh, that's from my mother, that's from my father, that's from my teacher, that's from my friend, that's from, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so we imitate. So tell me, or we ask, how do we imitate? How do we imitate? First of all, we cannot imitate God's what's called incommunicable traits. Incommunicable means things he cannot give us and we can't imitate, like his omnipresence, his omniscience. See, his holiness. We can imitate some of it, but we can never be God. So there's incommunicable traits. But there's also communicable traits, which is his love, his wisdom, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his compassion. All those things we can imitate. And they don't happen at once. Your child spends many, many years growing. We spend all of our lives growing as children of God. I don't care how old you are, and I'm the oldest one in this room right now. And you spend all your life, I will spend all my life until the day I die, learning to imitate God. I'll never be at the place where I got it. Never. I'm a learner, like along with you. We're in the same boat. We're in the same boat. And don't ever think that any one of us, don't ever think we're at a place that we've graduated to PhD level. There's no such thing. We are all children of God. When you imitated your parents, it wasn't following a set of rules. The parents don't go, now little kid, take this step and then go like this. I mean, you might sort of go like that, but they're not going to stand there and say, oh, where do I put my next step? Well, tell me. No, they're just going to get up and go. And they've been watching you. You know, there's babies in here. We're all learning from you. They're watching. Don't think they're not doing anything, everybody. They're watching with their little brains. They're big brains, but what God has given them, God's blessing them. They're little people created beautifully by God. So it doesn't happen all at once. It's not a matter of application where we understand things, living by faith in the Son of God. Okay, I'm going to learn, I'm going to make a bunch of lists here, and then I'm going to go and try to apply them. Uh-uh. You got to be connected to the source. You've got to be connected in the Holy Spirit, that it flows through you, that it starts to become part of you. When you learn to walk and after you're walking, you don't stop then and say, oh, I got to go back. No, I'm this step and this step and this step. No, you've done it. It's coming from inside. And so living a life worthy, the resurrection life, is I've been raised again. I've been raised in my heart. And I'm flowing with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the church... May I ask, say you this? Guess what? The church is not primarily, according to Scripture, for education. This is not the place where you're going to learn all the things. I mean, you will learn. And education is part. But why did God make the church? See, the synagogue was a place for education. But God didn't. Jesus didn't continue the synagogue. He made a church. And he says it's an organism. Not an organization. Not where we're going to have all these classes and this and stuff. And if you take 10 classes, boy, you must be really spiritual because I've only taken 2. No. The church, guess what? It's an apprenticeship. It's a playground. It's a laboratory. It's a let's work this out together place. It's like God says, okay, I'm bringing all of you very different people together. This delights him. You look at the garden with all the different flowers and stuff. It delights God to see all those different flowers together. It delights him to see all of us together. And he says, I am going to work this out. It's a place, a playing field to practice God, to practice resurrection. That's what we are. It's a place where we live out the descriptions and encouragements of Scripture. It's a place of how we live and grow up. When Paul said, remember last week we said, Paul said about grieving the Holy Spirit? Well, he added, let bitterness and wrath and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And it's at the end of chapter 4, said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's what we do in this place. That's what we learn to do. This is so key. Every one of us in here, me included, me particularly, because I have the privilege and responsibility of standing up here and talking to you. And you know, sometimes I'm not going to be the best. Sometimes I may say something that you take wrong. Or that I didn't come out right. Or I make a mistake. I'm not perfect. None of us are. Sometimes we don't do the right things. We don't say the right things. I might not do the things you expect me to do or that you want me to do. But we try. But none of us is God. We're only on the road. Sometimes you and I will neglect one another. Sometimes we won't come to each other's aid for some reason. Sometimes we have blind spots. But it's so important. Do you know what God says about that? We need to learn to forgive one another. And why? Because God in Christ forgave us. See, a lot of times there's hurt in our families. are flesh and blood families. But there's hurt in this family too. There's hurt in every church family because we're all human. But as we grow up, through the help of the Holy Spirit, we learn to share and we learn to be open and to confess and to talk and to forgive. So let me explain what this is like. We're all growing up. Okay? We're all growing up. Sometimes we're stepping on each other's toes. Okay? Sometimes you say something that hurts me or hurts the next person. I say something that somebody doesn't understand and they go away and they get upset with me. All these sorts of things, right? All right, so what do we do about that? Well, if we don't do anything and do what's normal to human beings, we let that hurt build up and we create a distance between ourselves and the other person. And we might even get so upset thinking about it in the middle of the night that we leave the church or we spread rumors or we tell each other how that person hurt me. So then that's going to create, you know, that's the bitterness and all that stuff that grows up. It's like in Song of Solomon, it says the little foxes that come and eat the vines. So we have beautiful shoots of love and goodness growing in this paddock, in this field. But the little foxes, the enemy's little foxes come and nibble. So when a beautiful shoot comes up and isn't that wonderful? The little fox overnight comes, beep, 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 beep. You wouldn't like that, Stephen, because you'd see your plant going like that, see? And God doesn't like it because he sees his little plant going like this. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, I'm just saying, if we're mature, if we're desiring, this is a test for me and a test for all of us. So if we're growing in Christ, and if I'm the one that's been hurt, and I'm growing in Christ, then what I do is I make a step of faith and I go to person A and I say, do you know when you said this, that hurt me? Or you said this in a sermon and I don't quite understand it, or I thought this or I thought that. And give the other person the chance to talk about it. Give the other person the chance to discuss it. Give the other person the chance to say, I'm sorry. Give the other person a chance to say, I never meant to hurt you. Give the other person a chance to say, I want to be together with you. I want to repair this. But if you don't do that, there's no repair can happen. One. So if you are the person who has hurt somebody, and you don't know it, if somebody doesn't come and share it with you, then you can't do anything about it. So all of a sudden, the person who's been hurt by you, they don't want to talk to you anymore. They don't want to be together like they used to be. And all of a sudden, you say, what's going on? But there's no way to communicate. But my friends, can you see that if we don't do this, we're not mature. We're still babies. We're still like the little kids, brother and sister fighting with each other, not being able to talk, just like that. We haven't grown up. Now, can I say that this is a hard thing? Because you know why? It says, forgive each other how? As Christ forgave you. How did Christ forgive you? How did he forgive you? By dying on the cross. Forgiveness is not easy. To forgive you, Jesus Christ had to die. For me to forgive someone else who's hurt me, Guess what? I have to die. I have to die to my hurt, to my rights, to my privilege, to my pride, to my reputation, anything else that's in the way. I have to die. You see how long we have to go to mature. But you know what? I go back again. Jesus said, Paul said, Jesus has given you, God has given you every spiritual blessing to do this. So the first step is, oh God, I desire to do this. I want to be this sort of person. I want to do this. So let's go on. That's how we imitate. So how do we imitate God in this? We read about Him. We read the stories. We immerse ourselves in Scripture. It becomes part of our language. We consider Moses and Mary before we consider John and Joe down the street. We become part of the biblical story. We become part of God's history. So many people I know love genealogy. My neighbor does it. My cousin-in-law did it. You know, lots of people. I was in it for a while. My dad was in it. You know, what? How far do I go back? Is it King Louis the 14th or is it a caveman somewhere? I don't know. Do you know your genealogy as a Christian? Do you know you're more related to Moses than you are to your own mother and father if they're not Christian? Now that's hard to get our head around. But I want to say that over the years, the more I've jumped into this scripture, jumped into the Bible, jumped into what God's story is, the more I'm part of it. The more I'm part of it. And you know what happens when I've known people with genealogy? Like they might do a DNA test because, you know, Ancestry.com, you can do the DNA test now. And you can find out exactly where you know, what... You might have a pixel related to Scott. And you know, people that I know that found this, they go like a terrier after the Scott. They're so excited. I've got some little pixel of Scott in my background. I'm going to find out where they lived, where they grew up. I'm going to buy a Scottish emblem. You know, they really, really want to know that. You know what I'm going to say next? Do we do that knowing that our ancestor is Moses? Our ancestor is Abraham. Our father is God. Are we even interested? See? I hope we're interested. I hope we desire it. See? Because that's our identity, everybody. That's who we really are. That's who we're beating for. Okay, verse 2. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice. I've already touched on this. That we love each other and forgive each other because of God. Back in the Middle Ages, Bernard of Clairvaux, if any of you have studied church history, he wrote Bernard's Rules of Love. He was a monk. Remember that back in those days, it was the monks and the people who really kept the Christianity going because it was being stifled out by the kings and all the marauders and the Vikings and all sorts of things. And he said there's 4 degrees of love. He said the first degree is we love oneself for our own sake. Well, that's normal, right? That's where we're at. Oh, I love myself because I love myself. That's where we all at. So, and we have these 4 degrees at many times in our life. It's not just we've forgotten that one and go to the next one. We try to handle things on our own. We're worried about our self-esteem. We're worried about ourselves. That's love for our own self. That's number one. That's the bottom degree, I guess you might say. The next one is we love God for our own sake. That's where many of us are and where we are from time to time. What's that mean? We love God for what he can do for us. We love God for us. We love God because he's going to answer my prayer, because he's going to do this, he's going to help me, I'm going to do this, and I'm really going to be wonderful. I'm loving God for what he can do for me. Then the third one is loving God for God's own sake. Ooh, have you ever experienced that? Have you experienced that? Ask yourself. Have you loved God? Have you felt that moment or that realization that you love God just for Him, even if He didn't do a thing more in your life. When Habakkuk says, even though there's no cattle in the field or vines in the vineyard or anything, I will love Him. Are we at that place? That only you can say. Only you can save to God, because only God knows. Now there's a fourth one. There's a fourth one. Loving oneself for God's sake. God's love now makes more of us. We are now connected in such a way that there's no God over here and me here. We're all together. We're all together. So, loving oneself for God's sake. I care about myself. I care how I'm doing things for your sake, God. To give you honor, to give you glory. See? Now, we will have a round robin of those things. We will, you know, and this Bernard and the Bible says we'll probably never be at degree four, you know, every day of our lives, and not until maybe we're with Jesus. So what kind of love is this, are we supposed to grow into? Well, you know, when we use the word love here, I would dare say if I could do a little, not a heart monitor, but a brain monitor, and we put the word love down, and you put down all the things of what that is, it would be very fleshly. It would be very, you know, like getting and receiving and taking and all that kind of stuff. Sort of love of ice cream and love of God gets mixed up together. We need to understand that in the scripture, love is sacrificial. So when we talk about God loves us, it's not ooey-gooey love that's like a sugar daddy. It's love that is sacrificial. And so when we talk about how we love one another, oh, Christians are to love one another. Well, does it mean you make meals for me every day, or you go to the neighborhood every day? Or, you know, what does it mean? No, it means a love that is so wanting the best for someone else. But so much of the time we want the best for ourselves and not the best for someone else. And that's what God's love really means. So as we get to the end of this passage, there's one more thing in Ephesians 5 that Paul says. Besides, we are children of God. The second big thing is in verses 7 to 15, we are children of light. We are children of light. Paul tells us there's another way we should live because of what Christ has done for us as children of light. We are light in the Lord. Remember, no one puts a light on a hill and puts a bushel over it, but he lets the light shine. And then Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And he says, you're the light of the world. So we live as children of God, and we live as children of light. So when Jesus' light comes in us, if it's light, it comes out. Can you tell me if you've ever been in a light room and you've ever been able for darkness to put it out? I mean, unless you click the switch. But if a dark walked in the room, like if you somehow could have dark. No. Light always dispels darkness. You bring a tiny little pin torch into dark, and it dispels that dark. See? So Jesus says, you're to live as children of light. So when I'm living as a child of love, as a child of God, and I'm doing all, and I'm focusing on that, then the light comes out. I'm a child of light. And so when I go, it's like this, I'm a beacon. You know, I've got this little monitor that's going, bing, 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 bing. When you're riding a bike at night and you have the little flasher thing, that's like us, see? We have a little flasher thing going on as children of light. So I walk into my office. That's going bing, bing, bing. Now, of course, this isn't, you don't see that. But that's what should be happening. I go to the supermarket. Bing, bing, bing. I see my next door neighbor. Bing, bing, bing. See? That's what Jesus is saying. Do we reach out to connect? Yesterday, I'm home in the afternoon, and there's a knock on the door, and there's a young man standing there. And the house behind me, I think I've told you about this before, they used to have teenagers there that would throw bottles over and stuff. Well, you know what? 20 years of dealing with that and praying for them and going and saying, hello, this is a bottle that was thrown over, you know, da-da-da, you know, but I really like you and everything like that, you know, and stuff like that. Well, they sold the house. So it sat there, and so I start praying. You know, I say, please don't let any more teenagers come. You know, like, especially ones that kick balls or throw drink bottles over the, you know. Well, this young man came. I think he's, you know, probably, he's probably not from Australia. And I know his wife speaks with an accent and stuff, and they have a little five-year-old boy. Which I learned. Anyway, he's knocking on the door, and he said, look, he said, we just moved in, or about to move in, and there's a hedge thing. It's like a tree thing growing by a telegraph pole or some pole. Could we cut that back because we want to put another panel in? I said, oh, okay. He said, I'm sorry. He said, let's go and look at it. So I went around the back, and we're going around the back, and we're just chatting, and so I thought, okay, this is a good opportunity. See, I like the light to go out, see? You know, boing, boing, boing. And I said, oh, yeah, it's da, 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 da. And I said, oh, this is a good street and all that. And I said, I don't know how it happened, but he said something about soccer. Well, I mean, you know what happened next. So I said, oh, well, you know, my daughter plays for the Matildas, goalkeeper. Lydia Williams, oh, let me shake your hand. I live next to royalty. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I said, well, she does live here sometimes. I watch her. This is unbelievable. I'm going to have to tell this person and that person and this person. I said, oh, okay. So we go over and we look at the thing, and he shows me what he's going to do, and then we walk around, and then I suddenly realize, as you know, Lydia wrote a children's book, so I've got a few at home, like for these occasions. And so I said, look, go through the gate and I'll meet you out front. And I said, da, da, da. So I got the book. And then his wife is in the car and his little boy's in the car. So then they get out and we talk and all that. And I said, ah, and the little boy's playing soccer. And I said, oh, this is from my daughter. Yeah. Well, they were over the moon, you know. Like, oh my goodness, I can't stand this. I'm going to have a heart attack. So anyway, they're sending their little boy to Trinity. I said, oh, Lydia went there. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, like, what a gift. You know, what a gift. Oh, we'll see each other. We're planning to move in before Christmas because they're doing some renos and stuff like that. But, I mean, see, I think of those things as absolute wonderful gifts from God. I'm happy for this neighbor. And I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know anything like that. But they want to meet Lydia when she comes home, which she's probably going to say, oh, Mom. Which she does, you know, says, can't you just shut up sometimes? You know. So. But this is what I'm saying. These are gifts. To me, these are gifts from God. And so I'm happy. And so I want to reach out. But if I had been, which I can be sometimes when someone knocks on my door, I say, I don't buy anything at the door. I don't do, you know, I can be little beep, beep, you know, like that. But such a wonderful opportunity. This is the way we're to be. Children of light. In ways that we can share, we're in the Lord. So the very last thing, verses 9 and 10, discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Paul tells us here that the aim of this life, everybody, is not to achieve my own things. It is to please the Lord. So it's not just pagan ethics to live an honorable life. See, people say, oh, I do good. I'm not a bad person. I'm okay. I like people. I don't swear. I don't get drunk. I don't throw bottles over the neighbor's yard. I don't do any of that. But that's not the deal. Everybody can do that. The deal here is we discern, we choose, we decide, we figure out what's pleasing to the Lord. So when I look at this neighbor, I say, Lord, what is pleasing to you in this situation? What's pleasing to you? I have to remind myself all the time of that. I can forget. So let's summarize Paul's teaching. Light and darkness, good and evil, life and death. He says we have been changed radically. Our very nature has been changed, our very heart. And because of that, our lifestyle should change at the same time. And we should be changing over and over. We'd be changing more. I know that I'm a different person in many ways than I was 10 years ago, than I was 5 years ago, and big time different from 40 years ago. I know things that used to bug me and I couldn't do, and I was a rat bag as a Christian 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And I'm changing all the time, and I want to. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit within us, a total dependence on the righteousness of Christ himself. I want you to pray that God will fill you, continue to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would grow in you and in me and do things in you and in me and change you and in me, and that Christ will shine upon you as his beloved. Let's pray. Father, isn't that so wonderful that you have said that we are the beloved in Christ? The beloved. Oh, Lord, can we just let that sink in? We are the beloved. And you care for us. Lord, help us to just to relax, just to take a deep breath and say, Lord, flow through me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, flow through me that I might be like you. And let us love one another. Let us encourage one another in this. Let us care for one another. Let's be in unity in the fact of our care and love for one another and appreciating each other's differences. Can we forgive each other quickly? Can we share maybe what's hurt us so it doesn't happen again? It's hard for us to do. We're closed people sometimes, Lord. We don't like to tell other things, people, people our problems or our concerns. But Lord, that's not mature. We need to step out and trust you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.